Heureusement qu'il y avait notre auditrice.
CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. No boundaries. Feel alive.
Good day. You're tuned into Free City Radio on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. We'll be broadcasting with you until 11:30 this morning on CKUT People Powered Radio in Montreal. I'm your host, Stéphane Christophe. On the program this week, we are going to be broadcasting a guest contribution from freelance journalist Sandra Herzegova, who has focused on the political situation in Uganda after the re-election, which was contested, of Museveni in Uganda. There has been numerous reports, both in the context of the lead up to the election, during the elections and afterwards, about systemic repression of independent media workers and political opponents in Uganda. This is from Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International. Sandra Herzegova has spoken with an opposition political figure and musician in Uganda, and also a representative from Amnesty International in West Africa, about the political situation in Uganda, and thankfully has contributed this report to Free City Radio. So I'll leave it to Sandra here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
My name is Sandra Herzegova, and I am a freelance journalist based in Montreal, Quebec. There has been a lack of coverage in Canada concerning Uganda's election and post-election political situation. I have been researching information for the past few months on Uganda's 2021 election, which occurred on January 14th. In this segment for Free City Radio, you will hear an interview with a former member of the Ugandan parliament who ran for the opposition party during this year's election. She will be sharing her experience running as an opposition party member. For fear of her security, her identity will remain anonymous. She is also a musician and activist who advocates for community education for young children affected with Nodding Disease Syndrome. According to Global Health, Nodding Syndrome is an unexplained neurological condition which affects children between the ages of 5 to 15 years old. It is characterized by episodes of repetitive dropping forward of the head and accompanied by other seizure-like symptoms such as convulsions. This disease has predominantly affected children in East African regions. She aims to end the stigmatization of this disease in her community, as she claims that the children affected are often orphans who are beaten and maltreated. In an interview, she said that she is coaching and counseling children who are also young mothers affected by Nodding Disease Syndrome. She trains the Nodding Disease-affected families with hands-on skills like making baskets, beads, African print bags, clay pots, and farming so that they are able to earn a living. She uses music as a tool to help spread the awareness of this disease in her community. Although her identity will remain anonymous, she has agreed for us to play one of her songs, which she dedicated to those suffering of Nodding Syndrome.
Many questions and not answers on Nodding Disease. But now, we need help. We need assistance. Let's save the world.
You've just listened to a song dedicated to children and families in Uganda who are affected with Nodding Syndrome by a former member of parliament, whose identity will remain anonymous for her security. Later in this segment, we will hear about her experience campaigning and running as an opposition party member for the National Unity Platform during Uganda's 2021 election. to provide context concerning the political situation prior, during, and post the Ugandan 2021 elections, I have interviewed Roland Ibole, the regional researcher at Amnesty International, to help provide us with more context on the political situation in Uganda and the infringement of human rights the country is currently facing in regards to the right of freedom of expression and the right of peaceful assembly. President Museveni is one of the longest-serving presidents in Africa. He and the National Resistance Movement came to power in 1986 and have led Uganda ever since. This marks 35 years in parliament, the equivalent of 5 elected terms. Museveni is the only president Ugandans younger than 40 have ever known. The Ugandan parliament passed a constitutional amendment in 2017 to remove the presidential age limit, which was capped at 75. Mr. Museveni would have been deemed ineligible to seek his 6th elected term if this age limit was not removed, as he is 76 years old today. This year's election presented Museveni with 11 opponents, most notably musician and activist Robert Kyagulanyi Ssentamu, known by his stage name Bobby Wine. Bobby Wine was seen as the biggest challenge to Mr. Museveni's rule, according to the BBC. He is 39 years old today, which is a little more than half of Museveni's age. Bobby Wine became a musician in the early 2000s. His music was mainly about speaking up against social injustices and for economic and social rights. He then switched to politics and won a seat in parliament in 2017. Wine is also known as the ghetto president, as he grew up in a slum in the capital city, Kampala. His campaign message is one which resonates with the youth of Uganda. He is seen as an aspiration of a youthful president, an aspiration of change. Not to mention that Uganda has the second youngest population in the world, according to the CIA World Factbook. Bobby Wine's background and efforts for social justice through his music and politics has raised his popularity amongst the youth in Uganda. He has gathered big crowds of supporters in rural areas, which surprised the Museveni government, since the rural areas were previously thought to be a place of support for President Museveni. Roland Ibole, the regional researcher at Amnesty International, said in an interview, and I quote him here, quote, "Prior to the election, around the time that COVID-19 was declared a pandemic, the Court of Uganda declared an act, a law that restricted assembly, a law that allowed or gave police certain powers to cancel or call off assemblies and sometimes forcefully disrupt them." According to Ibole, COVID-19 regulations became the weapon that the government used to prevent people and politicians from peacefully assembling. End of quote. Here is a voice clip from the interview with Roland Ibole, the regional researcher at Amnesty International, concerning the fatal protests which occurred on November 19th last year during Uganda's election campaign after opposition party leader Bobby Wine was arrested.
From that time to the time of election, every assembly, including political campaigns that were being disrupted, the government was using, mentioning that, the persons or the assembly went against, guidelines on COVID-19. And in cases where people were arrested for, illegal assembly, they were charged with, offenses related to spreading or intentions to spread a deadly disease, which are, again, going back to COVID-19 regulations. So then what happens is that was used against Bobby Wine's supporters. Every time Bobby Wine wanted to meet, police would come, use tear gas, use whatever it is that they would use to disrupt that gathering. But it got to us closer to election, because in November, you may know this, the reports about 18 and 19 November, whereby Ugandans, especially in eastern Uganda and the capital Kampala, took to the street to protest the arrest of Bobby Wine. Bobby Wine had been arrested in a political campaign in northern Uganda near Jinja Town. You may know the geography of Uganda. And so during those protests, police used lethal force to kill more than 54 people. I'm saying more than 54 people because even as Amnesty, what you've documented is 54 people. There are a lot more that were brutally beaten, hospitalized, and had to go through specialized care. We cannot confirm how many more died. Yeah, so I'm using 54 because, again, 54 is the number that the government has acknowledged. So I'm using it as an official number, but could be more. So using force, police killed those protesters. Of course, there have been arguments that these protesters were also looting, you know, property. There have been arguments and, of course, also sometimes evidence to show that, you know, some of these protesters were also violent and attacking, you know, members, perceived to be, supporting the ruling party.
Hundreds of people have been arrested and placed in military detention centers across the country by Ugandan security forces in recent months. Some of these people have been found. Others remain missing. I'll be reading a quote from The Guardian's article published last week. Quote, "Hundreds of ordinary people suspected of supporting opposition politicians in Uganda have been snatched off the streets by security services in the worst wave of repression in the East African country for decades. Many suffered systematic torture, detention in harsh conditions, and often secret prisons and the denial of access to relatives or lawyers." According to Bobby Wine, hundreds of his supporters have been abducted in recent months. Many Ugandans have been picked off the streets by armed men in unlicensed vehicles. Some were well-known critiques of the regime, expressing their freedoms of expression. Some of these individuals have been tried in court, but many others have been found beaten and tortured, turned up dead, or simply unaccounted for. According to Ibole, members and supporters of the National Unity Platform Party who were arrested for gathering in different parts of the country have disappeared and were taken to undisclosed military detention centers. I quote Ibole here, quote, "The mode of arrest has been in the form of abductions. There were vans with no registration or number plates that would pick up people, and then these people would not be aware who they were. This became the norm just before elections." According to Ibole, there were cases of journalists who were covering political events for Bobby Wine and were attacked and beaten. Kasire Ashraf, a journalist who covers Bobby Wine's live broadcasts on social media for Ghetto Media, an online media channel in Uganda, was shot in the head. He survived and has been receiving medical care. He sued the government, but a few weeks ago, he withdrew his lawsuit, according to Ibole. Here is a quote from Roland Ibole explaining the situation concerning disappearances, arrests, and abductions occurring in recent months in Uganda. "We have seen a lot of military patrolling the streets. It looks as if the police have been replaced by the military. If you ask a Ugandan right now, there is so much military presence, which means that there is a threat to national security. What happens is that at some point, we have seen a situation in which the military has been accused as the one that is making most of the arrests of the opposition members, whether it is through abductions or normal arrests. The military is responsible for a lot of them." End of quote. According to Roland Ibole, the National Unity Platform claims that 458 of its members and supporters have disappeared in recent months. In contrast, the Ugandan government mentioned that there are less people and that only 243 people are missing. On March 4th this year, the Ugandan senior military officer and minister of internal affairs, J.J. Odongo, reported to parliament to present the list of missing people. Here is a quote from Roland Ibole concerning the situation. Quote, "They presented 177 people that they say were arrested for various election-related offenses, and he mentioned that a couple of them were released on bond, but he did not give an exact number. There is a large gap." End of quote. The elections in Uganda were on January 14th this year. 3 days before the election, Roland Ibole explained that social media started to switch off. According to Ibole, by Monday, January 11th, people were complaining about slow internet reception, and 2 days to the election, there was a total shutdown unless people had access to a virtual private network known as VPN. In this clip, Roland Ibole explains how the blocking of internet and social media access affected freedom of speech and information for Ugandans.
This is not the first time that this has happened. It has happened in the 2016 elections. It also happened, I think it was 2011 when 2010 when there was a very important debate around, you know, extension of presidential term limit. So Uganda was continuing with what it has done before. So with social media lock, it meant, and internet lock, it meant that, you know, other avenues for information were also locked. For instance, you know, party agents in rural areas could not really transmit, you know, results or, you know, declaration forms in soft copy or whichever form to the party headquarters. So on the election day itself, election basically went almost well because people have mentioned, and this is, I'm saying this in just that, voting is never the problem in many countries in Africa, and especially countries where there are elections misconduct. Voting is never the issue. People are brave weather, the weather, they would, you know, they'd persevere rain or heat or, you know, daytime heat, persevere long distance to walk or long queues, because the queues sometimes can really be disturbingly long. They will vote, but the problem really starts with the counting, with the tallying, with the announcement of the results. So voting happened on that day. And now the real problem started with the tallying. And this is another aspect whereby we can speak about freedom of, you know, expression, you know, freedom of assembly, where even non-governmental organizations, civil society organizations that had tried organize themselves to monitor or to, you know, to monitor the elections actually, were actually shut down. I can mention this particular civil society group where they had set up a tallying center in, you know, a hotel, African hotel in Kampala, and their tallying center was raided by security forces and, you know, some of their clerks and leaders, including the head, I think her name is Susan Birete, was arrested. And you see already, you know, this was a way in which the state was really trying to, you know, curtail or to try and prevent people from, one, gathering information. And now by arresting Bobi Wine agents, because now the next day, when now, you know, election results were already now starting to be announced, what was happening is that throughout the country, agents of the National Unity Platform, who are returning declaration forms and who are just also trying to communicate with the party headquarters, were also being arrested. And some of them disappeared. And so again, this was information being, you know, captured, what you call prevented or stopped at various, you know, places. I know of, you know, an agent was coming from Northern Uganda, intercepted just before they got to Kampala, you know, as an arrested, reported that he was brutalized and he had to flee the country to come to Kenya. And all his declaration forms were actually, you know, taken. And so, there were a lot of that.
According to the Uganda Electoral Commission, 18.1 million people have registered to vote in Uganda. 50% plus one votes are needed for a candidate to avoid a runoff election. 5.85 million votes were won by Yoweri Museveni, and 3.48 million votes were won by Bobi Wine, according to the Uganda Electoral Commission. And 2,000 observers deployed by the Africa Elections Watch Coalition said they had observed irregularities. President Museveni may have officially taken 58.64% of the presidential vote to extend his 35-year stay in power, but Bobi Wine rejected the results. Wine aims to prove evidence of vote rigging. On the day of elections, Bobi Wine was placed under house arrest where he could not leave his home. Amnesty International called his arrest arbitrary and politically motivated. He was released after 12 days of house arrest. Since then, Bobi Wine has also been arrested on March 15th as he took part in a protest against the detention of his supporters in Kampala. As mentioned previously on this segment, a former member of the National Unity Platform will share her experience running as an opposition party member during Uganda's 2021 election. As mentioned earlier, she agreed for us to share an excerpt of the interview in this segment as long as her identity remains anonymous. Her political message during her campaign was focused towards the improvement of women's rights in Uganda. She is also a musician and activist who advocates for community education for young children affected with Nodding Disease Syndrome. On election day, she claims that 12 of her polling agents were brutalized, tortured, and arrested. 6 more of her polling agents were hospitalized and their phones were destroyed because they took pictures and videos of electoral malpractice as evidence of what happened at the polling stations on election day. Here are a few clips from the former National Unity Platform member about her experience.
So during my campaign period, it was hard because at times I am stopped by the soldiers. At times I'm stopped by the policemen, the army men. At times I'm stopped by men in plain clothes who are not actually putting on uniform, but they have guns. They tell me that, no, you cannot campaign. And yet my other opponents are campaigning. So it was really so strange. I said, wow, what is this? I'm just a young girl who is trying to make a change. And everybody's looking at it in a very different way. This is not fair. It was difficult to campaign in other areas where I was always stopped by the soldiers, by the army, and sometimes even the opposition politicians, especially from the government side. They went and have picked my campaign trails, like my campaign timetables from the Electoral Commission office. They picked it, and that's how they took it to the soldiers and the police. That's how they are tracking my movements. So it was kind of painful that even in the places that I'd not reached, I was not able to speak. I had been just stopped by the police and men in plain clothes with guns. Sometimes I go there, people in Northern Uganda are regarding the history where we came from, the 20 years insurgency of war in Northern Uganda, the guns and everything. People don't like armies. Sometimes in the villages, in places where I've been campaigning, when they see the army people, they just leave. Even when they had gathered, they leave. They don't like people in uniforms. So it was kind of difficult for me. And being new in politics, it was difficult for me because other people didn't know who I am. But when they listened to my songs, they actually realized that, yeah, she is the one. And then lots of people wanted to listen to my manifestos, which was actually very strong manifestos. And the people who got to listen to me loved it. But in other places that I didn't talk, I think I was not able to get some votes from there. So on the 14th, which is election day, I was put under house arrest. I'm having calls, many calls from the polling station. I couldn't go out there to check what is going wrong and right. And in the evening, well, around 4 p.m., I started getting calls in the house that, you know what? We are not at the polling station. We were chased away by the police. We were chased away by the soldiers in different places. I was wondering, what should I do? I'm in the house. I cannot get outside. I couldn't get outside. I was afraid. I didn't know what was going to happen to me. What if these people decide to kill me this night? What will I do? What am I supposed to do to escape from here? There was actually nothing I could do. I stayed in. They beat up my polling agents. They hit them so hard. Their phones, the smartphones they used for capturing evidence, was actually destroyed, smashed. And other people, they had to be rushed to the hospital. Around 12 boys were taken off around 7 boys. I didn't know where they were. Up to now, some 2 boys, I don't know where they are.
President Yoweri Museveni has not yet been sworn in for his 6th term. The inauguration will be on Wednesday, May 12th. Until then, according to Roland Ibole, and I quote him here, quote, "My projection is that until President Museveni will be sworn in for his 6th term, we are likely to see continued infringement on the freedoms of the right to peaceful assembly, expression, association, and information as well. My name is Sandra Herzegova, and I am a freelance journalist based in Montreal. Thank you for listening to this segment on Free City Radio."
That was a report by freelance journalist Sandra Herzegova about the political situation in Uganda, looking at opposition voices and systemic abuses of human rights that have been taking place. In Uganda, we heard from Amnesty International and also an opposition figure and musician in the country. This has been Free City Radio on CKUT 90.3 FM. It is the 12th of May. I'm your host, Stefan Christoph. We'll be back next Wednesday. Thank you for tuning in. Do stay tuned. The F Files are coming up next, and I'll go out with a piece of music, an excerpt from Gaika.
those who stand by to watch and to see what took place and to join in this. We ask you for your special blessings upon everyone. And now, Father, we give it all to you.
La vaccination contre la COVID-19 est en cours, mais l'ensemble de la population n'est pas encore protégée. Même si vous êtes vacciné, vous devez continuer d'appliquer les mesures sanitaires. Portez un masque, maintenez la distanciation physique et lavez-vous les mains régulièrement. En cas de symptômes, passez un test de dépistage et respectez les consignes d'isolement. Apprenez-en davantage sur les mesures au québec.ca/coronavirus. Respectons les règles, tout le temps, sans exception. Un message du gouvernement du Québec.
Your census invitation has arrived in the mail. Your participation will help plan programs and services for your community. Your census, your community, your future. A message from the Government of Canada.
Jean Couteau.
6835 Rue Saint-Hubert. June 4th to the 8th.
You put your left hand in. You put your left hand out, you put your left hand in, and you shrink it all about. You do the vamachara and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. You put your left hand in, you put your left hand out, you put your left hand in.
Presented by Undefined Radio.
Suoni per il popolo.
E se carte.
That's what it's all about.
Jean Couteau.
The 37th Festival International de Musique Actuelle de Victoriaville, a must for safe live arts, May 17th to 23rd, 2021. Concerts, sound art installations in public spaces, experimental short films, and visual arts. For a safe event of living arts, let's meet in Victo May 17th to 23rd.